Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, Friday, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan with you to get you started at 10 a.m. live with show number 5 from home this week. And I got to tell you, Danny, normally Friday it's a big countdown because the weekend's here and you get to hang out at the house for a couple of days and you don't have to do as much or you don't go to work or maybe your life changes considerably from the weekdays. That really won't be the case this weekend for most people. It's just more of what you've been doing.
Yeah, just no conference calls from my wife and no talking to you, with all due respect, for Saturday and Sunday. We'll be in the same rooms. We're doing pretty much the exact same stuff. It's just finding a way between when the kids get up and when they go to sleep to entertain them and to get them tired enough that my wife and I can watch something on Netflix. But how was your night last night, my friend? Mine was spectacular. I'll just say, watching Star Wars for the first time with my son. We're doing it in parts because there's not enough time before bed. Then watched Fargo, then got to play some video games, including, by the way, a game called The Division Part 2, which is about a global pandemic and takes place in Washington, D.C. It's a little bit weird that that's the game I'm playing right now, but I'm just going to roll with it and let you know that that's what's happening. What about you?
Might be time for a new game. It's kind of like watching the movie Flight with Denzel Washington right before you get on an airplane. I've always thought it was weird, like when cruise ships show Titanic. Yeah, probably exactly. Shouldn't do that.
Maybe sit that one out.
I had a good night as well. Fargo was our movie club film, so I had to catch that, obviously, so we can keep the movie club train on the tracks. 12:45 today, we will discuss that, and we'll pick a new movie. But you know what I got into last night? And I got to give you and Dar a tip of the cap and a thank you. I applaud both of you. So I've been looking for a TV show to binge, and I'll get back to probably Peaky Blinders. I told you I started watching it, first episode. Had a couple things come up, and I just didn't feel myself desperate to get back to watching it again. But I started Jack Ryan last night with
Jim from The Office.
Jim from The Office. I always call him Jim Krasinski, but that's actually not his name. His name's John Krasinski. But Jim from The Office, and damn if that's not good. I watched 4 episodes and ended up going to bed close to like 2 a.m. It was awesome.
It's just so entertaining, and it's not, again, the most – it's got a little bit of the double crossing and a couple plot twists and things like that. It's kind of the streaming elevated 24. What 24 was a couple – like several years ago when it first came out, it was revolutionary because it was in real time and, you know, the clock was ticking and they kind of got away from that for some writing ease and some plot device stuff. But it's kind of that elevated streaming platform version, like the HBO version of a network show. It's so entertaining. Krasinski's so good in it. Wendell Pierce is outstanding, and that's pretty much your show. I love that program.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So I just got it going, and we're 4 episodes in. There's only 2 seasons, so I'll be done with it in no time. You know that is a prerequisite for me. But otherwise, it's been a pretty seamless last 24 or so hours around the house doing a whole lot of nothing. Just so long since I've done anything other than basically take walks around my neighborhood and talk to my wife and play with the baby. That's about the extent of it. But we appreciate that you guys are listening. As always, you're sticking with the show on this Friday. Big news out of the NFL yesterday was that the Rams cut Todd Gurley. Mamas, don't let your kids grow up to be running backs. I mean, that is really what I think of when I saw this. And then GMs, don't let your front office assistants tell you that you should pay those guys a lot of money. Because almost every running back contract that has been signed over the last few years has turned out to be a really bad deal within a couple of seasons. And we're going to get into all of the details on some of the highest paid running backs in the sport and how those contracts look now. But people sleep. Gurley in 2017, before the Rams turned the corner and became a Super Bowl caliber club, had already established himself as a phenomenal talent, a 1,300-yard back with 13 touchdowns. The next year when they got to the Super Bowl, he was the best fantasy player in the league. He was statistically dominant, rushed for 1,250, ran for 17 touchdowns. He had another 580 yards and four scores through the air. And then last year, whether it was a lack of health or something not clicking in that offense, he was used differently. He was less effective. He had less burst and juice. And the Rams decided, we don't want to pay this guy $10 million. So yesterday, with a deadline looming as to whether or not his next phase of his contract was going to kick in and be guaranteed, they outright cut him. And one of the best backs in the NFL from a year and a half ago was on the street and just today agreed to terms with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, the entire thing is wild. I mean, you touched on it. A year and a half in running back years. I mean, you think of dog years. This is light, you know, it's different than this. This is hamster years, whatever you want to call it. Now, last year he was still fine, right? Just under 4 yards a pop in an offense that never really found its rhythm, and Goff struggled, and is it chicken or the egg? Was their offensive line not any good? I've seen some people, fantasy experts, a little bit more bullish on Gurley, saying he's not completely washed up. I don't think you're going to see the 2,000-yard, 20-touchdown, you know, total yards in terms of overall TDs that he averaged from 2017 and 2018, right? With McVay taking over and how great that offense was. I don't know that that guy exists anymore, but there's been some debate as to, you know, how much is his fault and how much are the knees, or, et cetera. But I think the cautionary tale is you're absolutely right. The enormous contract they signed him to, it's a huge, huge albatross now, and the Rams have to eat some dead cap on this thing, and there's a lot ugly about it, kind of the way that this whole thing played out. And it's crazy that we're talking about, as you said, a year and a half ago, 2018. This isn't a, well, let's see if we can go to the Fountain of Youth, 2015, 2016. 2018, as you said, he was the number one fantasy asset in the sport, catching passes, running behind as part of a dynamic offense, averaging, as I said, 2,000 yard total yards and 20 touchdowns for two seasons. Just remarkable how quickly that's all gone away.
Yeah, and we're talking about a player who was on what really was a Hall of Fame path.
Yes.
To start his career. And it's not like a year or two at this point for Todd Gurley playing the way that he had. I mean, he had established himself over five seasons as one of the great weapons in the National Football League. He's been playing since the Rams were in St. Louis. And I think people think this was like a two-year, three-year thing for Gurley. His career dates back to 1,100 yards as a rookie in 2015. So there's now plenty of wear and tear on those legs because he's carried the ball 250 times, three of the last four seasons, and at least 220 times in five straight years. Because you're signing him to a one-year contract, and you know that my adage is that there is no such thing as a bad one-year deal, particularly with a player with Gurley's talent, there's not a lot of risk in this. I won't say it's a bad transaction by any means. I'm waiting to see. I don't know if you've seen the numbers yet or how the specifics are going to break down financially for Todd Gurley. I've just seen that it's a one-year deal. But it was weird how the Rams used him from the start of the season on. Initially, he was just basically getting 14, 15 carries a game, and we thought he was on a pitch count. Remember in September, he had 14 against the Panthers, 16 against the Saints, 14th against the Browns, 5 against the Bucs, 15 against the Seahawks, and then they had their he didn't play, I guess, in week 6 against the 49ers. So going into the 7th week of the season, he was uber fresh. I mean, there was nothing to, at that point, the leg or him being fatigued. They basically put him in bubble wrap, and then around Halloween said, okay, it's time to start using him. And we saw him get 25 carries against the Bears and 23 carries against the Seahawks and 20 touches against the Cardinals. But he was just not the same. And I think that's where the questions now come from. Did McVay and the Rams know something about his knee, and that's why they weren't using him? Had nothing really to do with the pitch count and the idea of having him be strong in December. Because the Rams started 3-0 anyway, but as they were giving him 20 carries in a three-game stretch, they went 0-3 for the Bucs, Seahawks, and 49ers, and that kind of did them in, honestly, in October. You don't, in the NFL, you can't coach that way. McVay knows that. The Rams know you can't operate worrying about December and October, because what happens is when you get to December, all of a sudden the 49ers and the Seahawks are better than you. and you might not make the playoffs. And that's what gives me a lot of pause that he's ever going to be the same again, is I just refuse to believe they used him less frequently on purpose by design. I think they knew that they had something of a damaged goods running back. But I look at the numbers and I marvel. He scored 70 touchdowns in his NFL career to this point. If you look at players who are 25 years old or younger with 70 touchdowns on their resume, there are two. Todd Gurley and Emmitt Smith. That's the list. The greatest, by way of yards, running back of all time in the league's history.
This is, I think when you say they knew something, I think you can go back to the end of 2018 when it happened, right? I mean, we're going, what is this? When C.J. Anderson off the street is getting carries in weeks 15 and 16, and then in the playoffs he wasn't the feature. He had four carries in a win against New Orleans. Four. What? Like, what the hell was this? This was the number one option. This was the guy. This was, you know, in between the tackles, running inside, outside, the zone scheme, catching passes, doing everything. He had five total touches against New Orleans in that 26-23 win. Now, I know game script happens and everything else, but they couldn't get him the ball against New England. They didn't have much interest in as the playoffs kind of went on. I think they knew, and even though they wouldn't say, didn't want to run him under the bus, didn't want to look bad in terms of the contract he had signed and everything else, but I think they knew then that this arthritic knee or knees or whatever it is that he's got was taking its toll, and he just all of a sudden wasn't the same guy. Whether the film showed him that or the eyeball test, it's you said it, the shelf life of these running backs. It makes you appreciate a guy like Adrian Peterson, by the way. I think every once a generation, you know, whoever you believe does it, but God reaches down and shoots a lightning bolt at somebody and says, you'll be a freak of nature. You can do this until you're 35 or whatever the hell, right? Like, Emmitt Smith was effective for such a long time after being hit a million times. Makes you appreciate someone like Peterson. This is more the norm. I mean, you think of guys that are first-round fantasy assets that you have to have on your roster if you want to win. 2 years later, they're gone. They're just off the radar pretty much altogether. It's incredible.
2018, he signed a four-year, $60 million extension that guaranteed him $45 million from the Rams. They say life comes at you fast, but you know, being a running back is basically driving on the Autobahn. There is no speed limit. There's nothing faster than the lifespan of RBs, and his career is not over, but it took a turn yesterday, obviously. Let's look at some of the big contracts that have been doled out to running backs. There are very few that have actually worked, and we can give you some of the numbers and specifics on that next on Grant and Danny. Remember that we've got a poll that we give you each and every day. We'll kick off our poll start of next segment as well. You're listening to The Fan, and we thank you for doing so. Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson, and you are listening to this Friday installment of G&D on 106.7 The Fan. We're with you until 2. Adam Kaplan, who covers the National Football League and has been breaking news over the last week, will be with us in 40 minutes, energetic and loves his rock. So we will talk to him about the Pigskin coming up at 11 a.m. today. Kaplan, one of the good guys and one of our favorite football guests. What sport are you missing the most? That's what Danny and I were tossing around in the break and decided to make our poll today at Grant H. Paulson, a poll a day keeping the doctor away. So we will get your thoughts via polling on Twitter right now, again, at Grant H. Paulson. We're actually going to take some calls on this a little bit later on. But, Danny, what we came up with, we always post four options, and then people spend several hours telling us about all the things we should have included that we didn't, but Twitter
Absolutely.
Only gives
people
you.
People get very angry.
They only give you four choices. So we went with, of the sports that you could be missing the most right now, the NCAA tournament, and today would be the opening round Friday, you know, where you would have 32 teams playing, and it is absolutely wonderful. It's one of those holiday-type days on the sports calendar where a lot of people take off from work and go sit at a sports bar all day long and watch games with their bracket in front of them.
It's the best.
Me and you were supposed to be at Hollywood Casino, actually, yesterday and today, like we were last year for the shows. We aren't, but that would have been a good time had we have been able to pull that off.
I know, right?
Nobody's doing anything because there is no tournament. But 58% of the first 450 of you that have voted here in the last minute or so are saying the NCAA tournament, it's the early leader. The NHL stretch run, the NBA stretch run, two leagues that were coming into that final furlong of the regular season, getting ready for the playoffs, And then the opposite of that is baseball, which was just about to get started. We're calling it the Major League Baseball ramp up ahead of opening day. So those are your four options: college basketball, baseball, hoops in the NBA, and the NHL. And we can take calls on this a little bit later on. But it's just odd, Danny. First time since the 94 work stoppage in baseball that we haven't had sports at the professional level for an entire calendar week.
That's right. It is weird, man. We've gone around in circles talking about how unusual this is. We know why. We know the deal. We know the score. It's just so strange to be in March. And normally, as I said, I love being on location, pummeling fried food, sitting there for hours, strategizing, because I know I'm going to be here for 6, 7, 8 hours. I need to make sure I don't overeat early on. I want to make sure I have a variety of fried foods as I'm watching the NCAA tournament. I mean, just knowing that opening day isn't going to be here, knowing that I'm not going to sit there and look at, you know, Hockey Reference every morning to try to figure out who the Caps are going to be playing and how the bracket's going to work and the matchup. Same thing for the NBA. The spring is the second best time of the year, just in general, by the way. Summer is for Instagram models and children. Winter is too cold and dumb, obviously. The fall is so lovely, please embrace it. But the spring is the second best time for that reason. You've got multiple playoff runs. You've got March Madness. We're missing it, and it's just not happening. And every day I kind of am reminded there's that hole, you know?
And it's not going away.
Right.
I think that's the sad, maybe isn't the right word, but the troubling, kind of alarming part of this is, it'd be one thing if we knew, okay, come like April 1st, there are going to be games of some type. And not only do we not know that, but it probably is closer to the middle of May. I actually heard Jeff Passan, who covers Major League Baseball for ESPN yesterday during a report about Chris Sale needing Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
Say the words live on television. I mean, there is a chance there will be no Major League Baseball season in 2020. That's not necessarily likely, but it is a possibility, and it is something the teams have to prepare themselves for.
Right.
And it was the first time I've thought that at any point that's a actual thing that could happen. Now, I bet you the chances are minuscule. I think that especially in baseball, they are tiny that we wouldn't get a season because the season lasts 6 months, and at some point you think we'd return to normalcy. But just hearing that set off those alarm bells mm-hmm. and that fear for me that, you know, that this is such a big part of your life, my life, and so many of our listeners' passion and the things that get them by and keep them happy and afloat, so to speak, mentally in tough times. It's very hard not to happen. It's also hard in a very different way to pay running backs, as we've continued to find out yesterday with Todd Gurley being released by the Rams. So let's get into Gurley now in Atlanta Falcon and where he stacks up with some of these running back contracts. Look, the moment that four-year $60 million deal was signed, Danny, it was a really bad idea.
Yeah.
I think most people knew that, not necessarily because we thought he'd fall off immediately, but he'd had a really serious knee injury in college, and it was a stunner when he was still taken in the top 10 after that, and had been excellent in the NFL thereafter. But the thought was, well, he's not the type of guy that's going to age that well, and $15 million a year, four straight years for a running back, seems preposterous. With him cut and now on a new deal with Atlanta, and he wasn't the first guy to have this happen, but there have been two of the highest-paid running backs in the league now, quote-unquote, released by the teams since they got those bad contracts. So this list I'm about to read to you looks a lot better than it even did, but here's where we're at right now with the highest-paid backs in the league by way of annual average value.
Uh-huh.
I'll give you the name and the price tag, and you tell me right now if that's still a deal that the team is happy they signed or do you think they regret it. Ezekiel Elliott, $15 million per with the Cowboys.
Right now, they're happy, and I think that's going to change very, very soon. But right now, I think it was the big deal for them.
Completely agree with you. Ezekiel Elliott, as of this moment, is still one of the best weapons in football. Back-to-back 300-carry seasons the last 2 years, 1,400 and 1,300 yards, 18 total touchdowns. I mean, by the way, he basically averages like 4.6 a pop. Morris, 2012. You know, Adrian Peterson in a good stretch with the Redskins type numbers. It's not like he's Clinton Portis in Denver, 5.5 yards a carry type guy or anything. But he carries the ball a lot. He successfully wears defenses down, and I'm with you. So far, so good. I wouldn't want to be the Cowboys on the back end of that deal, but that's not quite what we're talking about now.
As I say, give it a minute. Just wait.
the right, Jets and Le'Veon Bell. He's going into his second season there. He makes $13 million per year on that deal.
Regret it. They have to, right?
Already? Yeah. I think they did probably two games in. And supposedly the head coach there doesn't even like the running back. I mean, if you read the clippings that have come out really since that transaction went down, it was Redskins-esque. It was front office wanted this guy. Head coach did not. Adam Gase and him apparently have kind of butted heads since the moment Le'Veon Bell got there.
3.2 yards per attempt. 3.2 yards per attempt for Le'Veon Bell. And it wasn't just a brief sample. What, he didn't leave in the first quarter of week one. This is 15 games. This is, again, the case in point for me. Who was better than Le'Veon Bell in 2017, right? 300-plus touches, just the patience, the ability as a receiver, just a star, right? Misses 2018. 2019, obviously far inferior team. Next thing you know, completely, completely ineffective in that offense.
Third highest paid tailback in the league right now is David Johnson, who was just traded by his team and is breaking down in front of our eyes.
Disaster.
$13 million a year inherited by the Texans. That's bad. Derrick Henry on the franchise tag is going to make a little under $11 million this year guaranteed. Based on last year, I would say the Titans are happy to have him at $11 million, hence they just tagged him.
Yeah, so the one-year part of that probably makes it genius.
And I wouldn't mind doing that with running backs, honestly, going
yeah,
one year
go.
At a time.
And I understand from the running back's perspective, I do not wish to be franchised, see the Le'Veon Bell dispute. So if I'm Henry, I'm ticked. But if I'm the team, I'm going, that's smart.
Kenyon Drake just got a transition tag. There's a chance he'll make more than 8.5 as of right now. That's where he's at. I wouldn't have done that for the record. I mean, he had a nice run, literally, figuratively, in Arizona. Mm-hmm. It was cool to watch. But you're giving him a lot of money at 26 years old, prime of his career, clearly, for a guy that basically broke out from obscurity after coming over for a half season.
Agreed there.
Saquon Barkley at $7.5 million, more than worth it, I would say, for the Giants. Mm-hmm. Leonard Fournette at $6.7 million for the Jags. I think you could find another guy to basically run for 3.4 yards per carry all the time. I don't know how they would feel. That's not a good team. He's only 25. He's going on 60. But that's a deal that I would say is in the maybe pile. I probably would not want to pay him that if I was the Jaguars.
Yeah, I would say regret. I mean, and just quickly, other guys that have already been cut or missed time, Jerick McKinnon, $7.5 million. Thank you, Raheem Mostert, for being able to the lead bell cow. Devontae Freeman, $8.25 million, cut by the Falcons. Lamar Miller misses the entire season at $6.5 million. And Duke Johnson, a $5 million extension to be the third back for Bill O'Brien.
Giovanni Bernard makes over $5 million a year. It's Tevin Coleman, who's like one of 16 guys with the 49ers and doesn't get a lot of touches, over $4 million a year. And basically, we just named about 10 of the top 15 to 18 highest paid backs that are regrettable contracts. It is a risky business to get into. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. You can vote on our poll today. Which sport are you missing the most? At Grant H. Paulson. Let's get into that next right here on G&D. A normal year would mean today we are talking about the amazing buzzer beaters, incredible comebacks, and the scintillating Cinderella stories of the opening day of the NCAA tournament. We're not doing that because there is no tournament. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. But speaking to the tourney, it's one of the options you can vote for. What sport do you miss the most right now? We're going to open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I guess here's the way that I would phrase it, Danny, and you tell me if you like or dislike this.
Okay.
If you dig it, rub it all over yourself. If you don't, throw it back at me. I'm thinking you get one sport back. Like, you just get to touch a button, and to get you through these times, you get a sport to enjoy. The schedule is essentially the same, so if you go hockey, you know, it's three games a week, the occasional back-to-back for the Capitals, similar schedule with basketball and the Wizards. If you go tournament, you get your Thursdays and your Fridays, your Saturday, your Sunday, but then you're without sports for those few days before the next round. Baseball right now, we're just playing exhibition games, but opening day starts on time, and everything thereafter happens as it would. Which are you taking back if you could pick one?
That's a great question. It's a great way to phrase it and think about it, because the short term is the tournament. Right? The short term, for the next couple weeks, few weeks, where it's just magical, where the weekends are packed, it's wall-to-wall games, it's, you know, you're checking in on one game on your computer, and they're giving you a, you are looking live at a, you know, 14 over a 3, a 12 over a 5, a Princeton backdoor cut to beat UCLA, whatever it is, right? It's perfect. But then it's gone. basically it's a month and then it's gone and then you don't get anything. The long-term answer, of course, is Major League Baseball. It's a gift. It's there every night. Guys play 5-6 nights a week, and it's, you know, it's comfort, and it's always kind of on in the background. Just give you some Bob Carpenter to get you through the night. So the short-term answer, the quick fix, the drug in my vein, is the tournament. But the long-term answer, if I just get to get it back, and I get June, I get July, I get August, I get into September, would be Major League Baseball. You're going to be surprised by this, I think. Give me that short-term drug. I'll figure out the rest later.
Really?
I love the tournament so much. That's my answer. I'm going to regret it in the summertime. I will. I'll be so upset in the summer that I chose this, but I just, this enjoyment is worth it to me. I'll pay the price on the back end. It's like basically saying, I'll have this piece of cake knowing that I'm going to be fat for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I'm trying to do the math in my head, how many days of basketball you actually get then?
It's not that many.
And the problem to me is not even how few days there are compared to some of the other sports. The issue for me would be the days in between while you even get it now. Because as you said, come a week into April, if we started it today, it's still over, yeah. And now you got a whole lot of nothing. But in the time where you get it, where you go, season's on, let's go, college basketball, NCAA tournament, you get the games Thursday through Sunday, but then there's a lot of sitting around waiting. And as we whittle the field down, there are fewer and fewer games anyway. So that answer really does surprise me. I understand your love for it. It is one of the greatest events we have, and it is certainly, I think, something that right now is leading to a lot of sports depression and angst and anxiety, because not having it, knowing we're not going to get it this year, is a true shame. Not just for the spectators, but more importantly for the players and the coaches and the staffers and the people that were going to work in the venue and put so much into and need so desperately those games. So I'm going to go in a different direction, and I don't know that that will surprise you. I'm debating, though, like you. I don't have an answer just yet. I got to workshop this out loud. I'm thinking baseball because of the relentlessness of the schedule and the yep. fact that it will give me something every single night come April for basically a half of a year. And everything else will be up and running, hopefully, by the time that the season ends. But if I had baseball, it would keep me company. It would pick me up. It'd be the buddy right now that everybody needs. It would sit there at the bar and have a beer with me and talk to me and tell me everything's going to be okay. 7:05 each night. It's got me through a lot, man. Not to be
seriously.
Dramatic. But just sitting there knowing that I can watch baseball for 3 hours and not think about anything has been really good for your boy's mental health over the years. So I lean that way. But there's a part of me that says there's not a whole lot better than an NHL postseason run. You think about the Caps over the years, you're generally guaranteed 2 rounds and 14 playoff games. So that would mean I would get roughly, what, like another 28 to 30 games or something, depending on how many regular season games they play down the stretch.
They needed 12 or so, and then you get another 14 on average, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking 26 games, give or take.
And those are spread out enough that it's 50 or so days at least, probably closer to 2 full months. So it's much less a concern or issue than the tournament would be in terms of, you know, how quickly it's over and now you're back to having nothing. But also, what if they messed around and this break was perfect for them and all of a sudden they were playing good hockey again and they made a cup run as one of the best teams in the National Hockey League? That wouldn't be the perfect antidote. That wouldn't be the shot in the arm that this city needs. That wouldn't be exactly what the doctor ordered for D.C. right now, is a cap Stanley Cup run, paradeless. You know, no floats going down the street because right. We all can't hang out.
Just empty cars.
But, man, that's hard to not pick. So I'm just debating here between baseball and hockey. Again, the poll is up at Grant H. Paulson. Of those two, I've made the cases for both, and I'll give you my answer in a moment. Just spitballing between the two, what do you think works better for me?
I think baseball, because, again, you have the big picture, the long view. You're talking about, again, it's similar. I keep using the drug analogy, but that drug of adrenaline where everything is on the line every shift, every time the puck gets dumped in, every icing call, every face-off is magnified, and it means so much, and it raises the adrenaline like nothing else because goals and scores are at such a premium come postseason hockey, right? That drug will last only so long. Baseball, that doesn't give you that same adrenaline rush, with all due respect, in a May 15th tilt against the Phillies. Well, actually, maybe different now with Bryce Harper. So a May 15th tilt against the Arizona Diamondbacks cannot compare. It just can't. but it gives you that 2 out of 10, but you, the numbers add up when you do it over 7 months versus the 10 out of 10 short burst maybe for a fortnight plus when it comes to playoff hockey.
I like where you're going, and I think you made a compelling case. The verdict is in. I am going with the National Hockey League.
I knew you would.
And I want to go with the Caps Cup run. Because, theoretically, that gets me to whenever, hopefully, we get through this as a country. And then baseball starts up after that maybe anyway. If it wasn't the end of the NHL season, I would not choose hockey over baseball. But you're talking about the best part of the season. This
right.
is like...
This is why we're here.
You get a Cinnabon, and you cut out the middle, and you hand it to me, and you go, here you go. You know, it's an ice cream cone, and it's that part at the end where, like, some of the ice cream is melted, but there's still some ice, it's chunky ice cream at the bottom, and you could put that and the cone in your mouth in one bite and eat it all. This is the whole point we've been waiting the entire time. And it's that versus we get some spring training and then opening day, which will be really cool. Can't go to the games anyway, obviously, but give me the intensity of the hockey's playoffs.
And I get it.
Let's take calls on this next. 800-636-1067. Of the sports that would be going on right now, what are you missing the most? We've thrown a poll on Twitter, NCAA tournament, ramp up to baseball, NBA and NHL stretch runs are both options. But there are others that you may have on your mind, and we will take those as well. We're Grant and Danny. Nothing normal about this Friday, March 20th, but the show pushes on. I'm at home in my basement in Virginia. Danny is in his laundry room in D.C. You doing any laundry during the shows? You getting anything cleaned, or would that be too loud?
It would be too loud. It would be a distracting noise. I mean, the occasional buzzer going off might actually give me some of that March Madness Jones, right? when it lets you know that it's done. It might come up once per show. But, you know, the things rattle around, then it would be distracting. I think people wouldn't like it.
Are you a good laundry guy?
Terrible.
Like, I put everything on cold, and I kind of do the same thing now that I did when I was 18. I don't ever really shrink anything. I don't ever get colors to bleed. I separate whites and do, like, darks and different categories that I was taught, basically, when I was moving out of my house initially. But I have not audibled in any way otherwise. Other than, like, the occasional, oh, my dryer stinks. I'm going to dry things on, like, permanent press and lower heat than I would a higher because that shrinks stuff. What's your laundry game like?
It's terrible. It's embarrassing. I don't know what all the settings do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It's never right, whatever it is, when I have to do it on my own. So
do you
for
do
years,
your own laundry, or does your wife do it?
So you divvy up tasks, obviously, to like what you're good at and what you excel at, and I don't excel at much. But she does it for the majority, obviously, for the house and everything. And I will assist as needed, but she doesn't like the way that I fold clothes, so she ends up doing that. I'm good with the socks. I pair the socks, and I put them into the nice little sock ball so they can go into the drawers. That's kind of my laundry role. But I'm terrible.
You're
at
saying
it.
A lot of things to say she does the laundry, aren't you?
Oh, 100%. Now, I will tell you this.
When's the last time you did, I guess she does travel a lot for work. So maybe
yeah, when she's out of town, I've done it, absolutely.
And you'll do the laundry for you and the kids and fold it and get it into their drawers and all that.
Yep, and it's never right. You know what I mean? There's a very correct way. I think you put the clothes away just as soon as possible because it's miserable, but there's a correct way, and I don't do it that way. So that's one of those things that I hope to improve upon as I maybe get into my 40s. Hopefully I'll get better at the laundry. But I will tell you this. This is true. I didn't work out for years in my 20s. The main reason, I hated doing laundry so much. This is totally true about me. Like, I basically would say, I would love to do something to be in shape. I'd love to go, like, jogging or play football with friends or play some pickup basketball. The thought, though, of dirtying those clothes and then needing laundry was so miserable for me that I ended up not working out at all. It's pathetic.
Most people don't work out because they're lazy as well, but it's because they don't actually want to do the exercise.
Right.
You just feared that after that you might have to throw shorts and a T-shirt into a washing machine.
I hate doing laundry so much that was a thing for me. And I'm confessing that to you and the tens of people that are listening, that is 100% true. I was that lazy and pathetic that it wasn't the exercise that had me not doing it. It was knowing that I'd have to do laundry sooner.
Let's go to the phones at 800-636-1067. We are discussing and taking calls on our poll today, our poll of the day, throughout this coronavirus situation that we're all dealing with. Each day has been non-sports. Today's is actually related to the sports that we're missing out on, though. What are you missing the most right now? The NCAA tournament, the NHL stretch run, Major League Baseball's ramp up, or Wizards in the NBA? 800-636-1067. Casey is in D.C. Casey, how are you?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you having me on the show. Love it.
Hey, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
Just want to say baseball all day. You know, we were a week away now from raising the first championship banner in National Stadium, and it sucks, man. It sucks that we're missing it.
That's true. That's kind of an underrated part of this, GP. It's not just baseball. It's Nationals baseball. It's defending World Series champions. Let's have a video montage. Let's raise a banner. Let's get rings. Let's do all of that really, really awesome stuff so we get to relive, you know, that ride from last October as we celebrate a brand new season. Because there's always juice with opening day. There's always juice with the start of the Major League season. And then you start settling into the rhythm after the first couple of weeks. You know, I mean, the first couple games are so magnified and they mean so much. And then you kind of settle into the rhythm of it. But we're robbed of that World Series defense element of this thing, right, where we get to celebrate last year.
No, it's very true. And you know, it's part of, I think, as a Nats fan, why this is so sad is that obviously they would not be playing games yet. And eventually we're going to get those things. We're going to see the team get their rings on the field. We're going to see the banner hung at Nationals Park. And whenever that happens, when everyone's come back outside on hopefully a beautiful spring or perhaps a hot summer day, depending on when that takes place, we're going to be there and we will get to enjoy that. And people will be watching it on television that don't get tickets. And that's going to be great. But in the meantime, the team itself is being robbed, forget of the actual events, of the endorsement that you get from being the champion, of just the ability to walk around as the cock of the walk with your chest out a little bit. This is your spring training as the defending champion. This was your offseason. And they were robbed initially of getting to show up at West Palm Beach and being the story in the sport by the Houston Astros at their own complex.
Right.
It was like a writer from the Post, a writer from the Athletic, and nobody else, you know, on the first day of spring training, because everyone was waiting to see what Dusty and Jim Crane were going to say with the Astros. And that went on for a week. And then when that died down, this picked up, and there really hasn't been any time for the Nationals to just kind of enjoy their work, to sit there with their feet up and their, you know, hands clasped behind their head saying, hey, everyone, come look at me. I'm the best. They haven't gotten that.
You're right. The shine because of the story was taken away. And then, of course, the shine of being, you know, of getting the season started with their own fan base. I mean, the story of sports was the Houston Astros, right? That wasn't just a baseball thing. That was an everybody thing. That's like what people on Congress, on Capitol Hill were talking about before this whole thing happened. But for the most part, that's what everybody wanted to know about each and every day. And the Nats were kind of flying under the radar because of that in a way that you don't normally see the defending World Series champions operate. And then this, of course, has taken away that thunder, which is, honestly, there's some poetry in that for the Nationals. It's kind of fitting that they're overshadowed in a way because it was a collection of guys that a lot of other teams didn't want. Obviously, people want Strasburg and Scherzer and, you know, and some of the stars on the roster like Juan Soto. But for the most part, it's cast-off veterans that the league has sort of turned away from. Right, I mean, people don't want the Howie Kendricks of the world. They'd rather give that job to a 22-year-old that costs a tenth of the price at this point, that is under team control for however many years. So it was fitting that this group of veterans once again was overlooked, you know, based on, you know, circumstances beyond their control. But now it's sort of, it's just a shame, man. It really is. I want that celebration so badly. I want to live it one last time, right?
It's going to happen. Mike Rizzo did a conference call today. Uh-huh. We've got the update on where all the Nationals are right now and how they're getting through this. There are a lot of details that came out of that, so we will pass those along in just a few minutes at 11:18 after Adam Kaplan. I want to squeeze in real quick Joe in Woodbridge. Joe giving us a call, kind enough to listen today, so let's give him a minute. Joe, you're on Grant and Danny. Your
sport you're missing the most is what?
There
you go.
Hey, buddy.
March Madness, without a doubt. Basketball. College.
So succinct. That was easy. We could really squeeze you in. You didn't have a whole lot to add, but I think his point is, exclamation point, I need to say no more. Do you remember how great the tourney is?
It's just so much fun. Again, when you're stuck at work, like most schlubs are, like I was for so many years, you just, you know, watching that online situation with the CBS Sports and the boss button, it's just so great. It is so much fun watching nothing but buzzer beaters. It's amazing how the tournament always provides.
Full breakdown on where all the Nationals are right now, how many players stayed in West Palm Beach, how many went back to D.C., who's at their offseason homes coming up at 11:18. Next, though, Adam Kaplan on the NFL. News of the day already. Todd Gurley, who was cut by the Rams yesterday afternoon, has signed with the Falcons. Plus, Tom Brady to the Bucs is official. Kaplan on that and what the Redskins are going to do next when he joins us in a moment on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.